Hello and welcome to another Trevor and Ben podcast. How are you, Ben?
I'm good, yeah. Had a very exciting week.
Exciting week?
Yeah.
Why?
It was the old Fury Wilder rematch.
Oh, God.
I forgot you don't like boxing.
Oh.
I didn't forget at all.
Spare me the boxing. I saw them in the build-up to it having a bit of a fight at some press conference. I can't bear all that.
Bit of a push.
Just stop it.
Did you see the entrance?
Stop. No, I didn't see that. I saw a picture of someone on a throne.
Yeah.
Or was that at the end?
No, that was Fury being carried in on his throne.
What a prick. I mean, honestly, because he's the Gypsy King, right?
He is the Gypsy King.
I'm not a big fan of boxing as a sport. Just, I don't really get punching each other, but I understand that that can be an exciting sport. I've watched boxing as a sporting spectacle and enjoyed it.
Yeah,
but it's all the shit that goes on around it, all the trash talk. Just grow up, be sportsman about it. Sit down and go, well, you know, obviously I feel that I'm ready for the fight, but you know, you never know, and hopefully it'll be a good fight, and the best one will win.
It was.
Thank you very much. Shake the hand. Everyone smile. Click, click. Picture done. There's your headline. Piss off. But no, it's like they're fucking throwing shit at each other. There was a teenage boxing thing a few weeks back, and it all kicked off.
What was it?
Chairs being thrown. It's like, what sort of message being sent to young people is wrong?
I must have missed that.
Well,
it was a good fight, though.
Was it?
Yeah, and
was
someone was going to lose their undefeated streak.
Oh.
Because the first fight ended in a draw.
Oh, there's the tension.
Yeah, there's the tension.
Yeah.
Fury being a much better boxer, but, you know, Deontay Wilder has that one-punch knockout power.
Does he? Is he right-handed, left-handed?
I think it's his right hand you want to watch out.
It's his right hook, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And someone put it very nicely on Twitter that basically it was a world-class boxer against a world-class puncher. Because Wilder's not really known for his boxing ability, but
right. There
is the surprise. No matter how
isn't
badly,
boxing just punching, though?
No, it's a bit more to it than just punching.
Well, are you sure about that?
Yeah. But essentially, that's the joy of Deontay Wilder. He could be getting beaten 10 rounds in a row, but he can still knock you out in a second.
Right.
Very exciting stuff.
So was this getting up in the middle of the night to see it, was it?
This started at just after 5 a.m.
It's still too early to be getting up for a bloody boxing match, isn't it?
So I got up at 4 and drank in a bit of the atmosphere. And yeah, I enjoyed the fight. And of course, round 7, Deontay Wilder's team threw in the towel because he was getting mullered.
Was he?
Yeah, so the Gypsy King retains his unbeaten streak. Don't yawn. Don't
God
yawn.
God almighty. But right, 7 rounds. How long's a round?
3 minutes.
21 minutes.
Yeah, well, round 7 didn't get on for long before it was stopped.
Oh, didn't it? Right.
But the peculiar thing happened in round 6.
Well, what happened? What's peculiar in boxing? If one of them decided, I don't know, launch into a musical number? I mean, what happened?
Well, no, that happened at the end, actually. How do you mention that?
Very ridiculous.
At the end of it, we were treated to a celebratory Tyson Fury giving us a heartfelt rendition of American Pie.
Really?
Was lovely.
And has he got a good singing voice?
No.
No, I was going to say probably not. I don't know why I would think probably not, but there we go.
I enjoyed it nonetheless.
Did you?
But in the build-up to the fight, and you won't like this either, Tyson Fury had said that he wants to taste Wilder's blood.
Oh, God. I mean, again, what a thing to say. And in this day and age, that's a very unhygienic thing to do. I mean, when the physio runs onto a football pitch, he's put gloves on. Do you know what I mean? Tasting the blood, that is not a 21st century thing to be doing.
Well, in round 6,
yeah,
he did.
Oh, the man's a fool.
Because he battered Wilder quite badly, and there was a lot of blood pouring out the ear of Deontay Wilder. So his equilibrium was probably off because your ears are where your balance is at.
Right, yeah.
And as they go into a clinch towards the end of the round, all this blood is around the neck area. They get into a clinch. And Tyson Fury starts licking the blood from the neck of Deontay Wilder.
I mean, he should be disqualified there and then for
that. I did wonder.
Because that's just weird. That's weird behaviour.
I did wonder, you know, as far as... I've not studied the Queensbury rulebook very closely, but I'm sure.
I bet licking isn't... surely the referee at the start, he says, I want a good, clean fight. He's not basically saying, if you see any blood, lick it up.
Mop it up, lads.
Do you know what I mean? He's not meaning that, is he?
No. So that was...
Disgusting. These people are feral.
Definitely the weirdest
bit of
the fight.
They're like wild creatures. They're sort of almost, they're almost like a yeti, aren't they? They're not quite human. Not quite homo sapiens.
And Tyson Fury, he was enormous. Deontay Wilder's no short ass either. He's 6'7".
Right.
Tyson Fury, 6'9", and he was 42 pounds heavier.
Wow.
3 stone heavier than Wilder.
Well, it seems a very unfair fight, that.
Well, it's heavyweight. There's no top limit. That's
right.
Fine.
Fair enough.
So all hail the Gypsy King.
Wow. Yes. Well, I'm delighted for him. That's all I can say.
You sound it. Anyway, that was the excitement from my week. What about you?
Well, mine wasn't that exciting. I didn't see anyone licking blood.
No.
I didn't get involved with that. I've had quite a dull week, in all honesty. Oh. I think one of the highlights of my week was having two of my godchildren come to stay.
Very nice.
And I'm very concerned about the standard of children's literature these days.
Really?
What books did you read? You know, not, I'm not talking like as a teenager. I'm talking when you were about five or six. What books do you remember having as a young child?
Five or six?
Yeah.
I was going to say Harry Potter, but that was probably more like when I was 11.
Yeah.
Five or six, I remember a book I had called Pirates.
Pirates?
Which was pirates who were rats, and it was all about the adventures of Anton B. Stanton.
Oh, right. And what did he do?
I think he fought the pirates. I have a very spotty memory of this.
Right. You see, when I was young, books were very innocent and pure.
Were they?
Yeah, you know, all we had was, we had Noddy, The Famous Five, The Secret Seven, you know, real casual racism and sexism.
Of course. In
a children's book.
All that stuff.
That was the staple diet of literature when I was a kid. And my godson, my five-year-old godson, bought his book for me to read before bed.
Okay.
Right? I'm just going to get out of my bag and tell you about this book.
You've stolen his book?
Well, he left it in my house, to be
honest.
That
doesn't make it yours?
It's called...
How old is he again?
He's five.
And you've stolen his book?
Yeah, he's not having it back. It's called... This is the title, I Need a New Bum. That's Ooh. The title of this book.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's a bad thing to be telling children to start with.
Sounds like quite an intense medical procedure.
Well, yeah, well, it's not really. I mean, it starts, I need a new bum. Mine's got a crack. I can see in the mirror a crack at the back.
Right.
Did I do it on the slide or on the banister inside? And it goes through all the reasons why. It then talks about farting. I mean, again, what kind of messages is given to children?
Puerile.
Puerile.
Absolute
puerile.
Filth.
I mean, this is why people can't cope in the modern world these days.
I mean, do we lower ourselves to ask jokes?
No, well, no, but we're 42. I mean, it's different.
We?
Isn't it?
We're 42.
All right, well, I'm 42.
Thank you.
You're what? You're
31.
31, right? So it talks about having all these different, you know, all the different sorts of bums that you can have, you know. Yellow spotted, purple dotted, a bum with colour, a bum with flair, a bum as bright as I dare to wear, a bum as bright as Dad's underwear. I mean, honestly.
The only person I've seen with a yellow spotted, purple dotted arse is Mr. Blobby.
And did you covet it? Did you covet your neighbour's arse?
No, I did not.
Because I believe that's one of the Ten Commandments that you mustn't do. And it just goes on about having a new arse. I'm just not sure that's the thing to be teaching children. I'm concerned.
What's the dramatic conclusion of the book? Does he get a new arse?
Does he get a new arse in the end? Hang on, let me
you
see.
You haven't read it?
I read it to him, but I couldn't remember. No, I think it's all too late. This crack bum is my fate. I'm here on my own in this crack bum zone. No one to care, no one to share. Wait, what's that I hear? Little twist at the end.
Oh, here. Right.
What's that I hear? This is outrageous. Our bum crack's contagious. Dad, your bum crack is showing. And Dad, there's no way of knowing just how far this is going. And then it just finishes. I mean, the ending's a bit dull.
It leaves you on a cliffhanger.
I mean, maybe there's a follow-up. Maybe there's
sequel.
A, I need a new bum too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I suppose it
would be called the number two, wouldn't it?
It would have to be.
Yeah.
The most upsetting thing is that someone got paid to write that. Someone's published author because of that.
Well, two people as well. It's taken
two brains.
It's taken two people to write that. Now, we left last week with a bit of a cliffhanger for you.
We did, yeah.
Because you were talking about Inside Number 9 last week and mm-hmm. the second episode in the latest series, which you had issues with.
I did.
We don't need to go through all those again.
No, you can always go back to the last podcast and hear all that.
But as a result of that, it meant you had to go and watch the TV show Psychoville.
Yeah.
Because there was a crossover between the Inside Number 9 episode and the Psychoville series. So have you now watched Psychoville?
This morning I finished the final episode of Series 2, so I'm all caught up with Psychoville.
Right, and now are you happier with that episode of Inside Number 9?
Yes and no.
Oh, well, why? Okay, let's investigate then. So yes, why?
Yes, because I can now enjoy it and get the reference.
Okay.
And I think it's a much more enjoyable episode for having seen Psychoville, which, by the way, is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's flaming good, isn't it?
Weird as hell.
And Dawn French is in it, and she's incredible, isn't she?
She's really good in it.
Yeah.
It's very hard to explain to anyone what the hell it is. Just watch it. it's really good.
It's surrealism at its best. It's dark comedy at its best. It's all of that, really, isn't it?
It is. So, yeah, really enjoyed that. And now looking back at that episode of Inside Number 9, I can see exactly why a load of people absolutely loved it. However, I've got to stand by my original comments, which are, as an Inside Number 9 fan who hasn't seen it, it makes far less sense, and it's not as an enjoyable episode if you don't get the bit.
Really?
I don't hate it as much as I said I did last week, because now I get it a bit more, but still, I still feel it wasn't one of the best episodes ever if you haven't got the reference.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to go with that, because I'd seen Psychoville, so I don't know how it would have been to have seen that episode without watching it. I still think it would stand alone. And having listened to their podcast where they discuss it, they talk about that the hope is that you wouldn't have to have seen Psychoville to enjoy the episode.
Oops.
So,
sorry.
I don't know whether you failed or they failed.
I'm sure it's me.
Not entirely sure.
I mean, my wits against theirs, I'm sure it's my problem. Don't worry.
Now, we did a podcast a few weeks ago where we talked a lot about TV shows.
Yeah.
So I don't want to dwell too long on TV shows, but I do have a couple of TV things I need to get off my chest.
Okay, well, all I've seen this week is Psychoville. Right. It took me hours to get through it.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's a recommendation.
Okay.
Because I like the true crime things.
Yeah.
If you've got Netflix, watch The Pharmacist.
Okay.
That is just an incredible, incredible program. It follows this guy. I'm not going to give anything too much away, but it follows this guy who's basically investigating his son's death.
And is it a work of fiction or true?
It's all true.
Okay.
And it follows his story, following his investigations, but every sort of step of the way, there's new layers to this story. And it's just incredible. I think it's only 4 episodes as well, so you don't have to invest too much time in it. It's not like you're 20 episodes sometimes. You think, oh God, I don't know if I can do that. But it's only about 4 episodes. So that's just a recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
Try and watch that if you can. It's on Netflix. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is this Friends reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm a big fan of Friends, although I've got to say, I kind of got to that point where I've seen them all probably so many times.
Oh, yeah.
That I kind of have gone off watching them. But if I catch it, like this morning when I got to you, you had it on.
Yeah, it was on.
And if it's on, I will watch it. But I don't actively seek it out anymore.
No, I mean, it was when you were coming round, I just flicked the TV on, and it was a choice between that or The Simpsons. And it was old Simpsons, and I feel like I've seen... I was trying to work out which one I'd seen less of, and Friends just about edged it.
Yeah. Well, my goddaughter, who is 13 in May, she's getting into Friends now.
Oh, okay.
And apparently she's absolutely loving it. And it's weird, because I've seen lots of people of the snowflake generation, let's call them, who are finding Friends offensive in some places because of certain homophobic and possibly sexist remarks,
sometimes racist
and
as well.
Racist and misogynistic. So we're not really selling Friends here,
not really, no.
But it does have elements of that. But then it's quite old now; it's 25 years.
When did it come off the air?
It came off the air in 2004.
Okay.
So it's been a long time off the air, and the world has changed quite a lot in the last 15, 16 years.
As have a lot of the actors' faces from the show, I think.
Well, because they're old, mate.
Mm.
I mean, you know, they're getting on a bit now.
I think there's been some work done as well on some of them.
Oh.
Let's be honest.
Controversial, all right.
Saying no names.
Well, no, let's say some names. Who do you think's had work?
I think it's fairly safe that Courtney Cox has had quite a little. Well, yeah,
quite
a lot of work done.
Right. Well, that's interesting. If our lawyers are listening...
My name's Trev Smith.
So anyway, they're coming back, but they're not coming back for a new episode, which I think was what we were all hoping they might do. It's a one-off kind of reunion. I'm sort of guessing they're going to be sitting around talking about Friends, because it's all unscripted.
Oh no, hang on a minute, because this was a conversation I had with Mrs. Ben the other night.
Yeah.
We read about this big Friends reunion.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, for God's sake, it's not going to be one of those stupid reunion panels, is it? And she looked into it and she said, no, they're calling it an episode.
Well, they are, but it's an unscripted episode. So what does that mean?
Oh, God, they're going to fob us off with some shite, aren't they?
Are they going to play their characters but improvise? I don't really know. I don't know how it's going to work.
It's going to be a disaster.
But it's to celebrate the 25 years of Friends. The amazing thing for me is the money that is on offer here. First of all, HBO Max, which is a new subscription channel, I guess. They've bought the Friends back catalogue for £339 million.
It's not bad, is it?
£339 million.
But I thought, not to get too boring about this, but I thought Friends was all on Netflix at the moment. Does that mean it's going to be yanked off and gone?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, according to one magazine, each actor is going to get nearly £2 million for taking part in the special.
For an hour's work?
It's not scripted, so there's no rehearsal, presumably. They just got to rock up. Joey's probably got to walk around eating. Chandler's just going to be going, could I be any older? You know, he's going to be doing that. I don't know, the others will just be doing their normal thing. Ross and Rachel, they'll still be on a break. You know, do you know what I mean? Like £2 million for that.
That's extortion, isn't it?
Right, I've worked for a radio station, right, for 25 years. It's their 25th anniversary in June.
So you're thinking, where's my £2 million?
Well, there's an invite gone out for a reunion.
Okay.
It's like, well, yeah, I'll come, but where's my £2 million for turning up? I'm not even £2 million. I'm not being offered any money to turn up to the reunion. So I'm sort of thinking I won't go now.
I wouldn't, out of principle.
Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I know these people are stars, but it's I mean, honestly, do they need that money?
No.
Could they be any richer? It's unbelievable, isn't it? The sort of money that is bounded about. No wonder they lose touch with reality.
Have you often wondered, because I have, if you made a certain amount of money, like if you had $100 million in the bank and someone said, I'll come and do an hour's work for $1 million more.
Yeah.
You just think, oh, fuck it. What's the point? I'm never going to spend $100 million, let alone add an extra one on.
No, but the thing is that what you'd hope by that point, if you've got all that money, you would do the thing because you enjoyed it.
Mm.
And you wouldn't need, like, even if they said to you, look, come along, because they're not going, like, let's say you were in Friends,
yeah,
right, and you've got a lot of money in the bank, right, because let's face it, they must, I don't know if they get money for all the repeats, that, or whether they get a share of this $339 million that's been paid, or whether they just got paid per episode, but they got paid pretty well per episode.
I reckon they get repeat fees as well. I reckon the Rembrandts have been laughing all the way to the bank for the last 25
years. Well, yeah, they've had to do fuck all since then, haven't they? I mean, can you name another Rembrandt song?
Nope.
No. I mean, they did that one, and they're like, do we need to do another one? No. Do you know what? Let's fuck it, retire.
Yep.
Let's not do that. So let's say you were in Friends, right? So you've got all that money in the bank, and they say, look, we're all getting back together. Do you want to come along? We're going to do an hour thing. I'll tell you what, we'll give you like $4,000. You'd go, yeah, it'd be great to see everyone. Lovely. I don't need the money. But no, it's like this. I'm not saying that it's probably their agents. I don't know who's doing the negotiating. But for goodness sake, it's ridiculous.
Maybe you would. But wouldn't you just, if you just wanted to see everyone, wouldn't you just have a barbecue in private? Just invite them all round?
I mean, yeah, that's one way of doing it, isn't it?
Bring your own bowl.
I mean, maybe that's it.
Not
maybe,
made of money.
Maybe it's because they've been banging on about them getting back together for so long that in the end they've just got, yeah, all right, we'll do it. But you've got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I don't know. It's just.
Maybe.
It's a different world, isn't it? And I don't understand that world. To me, it's just pure greed. I'm not saying that they're the actors necessarily, but the whole industry, it's all just greed, isn't it? Just all this ridiculous money.
I mean, I suppose, what, if you can get it, go for it. If you can make millions and millions for an hour's work, why shouldn't you?
Well, fair enough.
Good
I
luck
suppose.
To you.
Yeah. The other TV show that I wanted to talk about, it's a Netflix thing, and it's called Love is Blind. Have you heard about this?
I haven't heard of this one.
It is the most ludicrous idea for a TV show, and I think rather immoral. In my view.
Okay.
Do you ever remember a TV show that was on back in the, I guess, late 90s, early 2000s, maybe, called Dating in the Dark?
I do remember that, yeah.
So the only reason I ever watched that show was because someone I went to school with was on it.
Okay.
And you would go into a room and there was no light and you'd talk to a potential partner, and then at the end you would decide whether you wanted to go on a date with that person in light.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fine. I kind of was okay with that because you're just going on a date.
Well, it was basically an exercise in human shallowness, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, this is even worse in a way. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. So let me see what you think, right? So Love is Blind is basically, it follows 30 men and women,
right,
who are looking for love. Throughout the process, they never see their partners, right? For 10 days, it's like a speed dating format where they basically kind of date each other, but they're in different pods where they can talk to each other but never see each other, right?
Okay. So far, I mean, thematically, it's no different from Dating in the Dark.
The difference is, it's whether they're going to marry that person
or
not.
Oh, fuck off.
So, whenever they decide, the men are able to propose to the women they want to get married to. Okay, and then after the proposal, they then reveal themselves to the partner. I mean, it's 10 days at most. So in that time, I don't know how much time you're spending with this potential life partner, but you're not going to really get to know that person,
no,
are you?
You're not.
It's just absolute bollocks.
It's just the worst kind of TV.
Now, I want to play you some bits from the trailer.
Okay.
What kind of work do you do?
So what are some of your biggest turn-offs?
So what are you looking for in a woman?
Ethnicity, race, physical appearance.
None of that matters.
I'm really starting to emotionally connect with you.
This could be a remarkable love story.
Oh, I mean, already I'm feeling sick.
Yep.
I mean, again, like, they're looking for all these things in people without really getting to know them to find out whether all those things really exist.
Also, why do we have to pretend when you're marrying someone or even wanting to go out with them? Why are we having to pretend that physical appearance doesn't matter?
Well, let's move on with the program, shall we?
You're a beautiful person. I don't have to see you to say that.
Oh, God.
I'm scared of making the wrong decision.
Well, don't go on this fucking show then, you moron.
Will you be my wife?
Oh, they're proposing now.
I'm engaged to somebody I've never seen before.
Well done.
I hope he's just find me very attractive.
I hope he finds me very attractive. Well, don't go on that show then.
For fuck's sake.
I mean, the whole point of the show is that it's not about attractiveness. And now that someone's proposed to you, you're hoping they find you attractive. Ridiculous woman.
Was this show devised by a divorce court lawyer?
Ludicrous TV show. Do you want to hear the rest of it?
Well, I don't, but let's do it for the sake of the podcast.
Oh my God. The physical attraction is on par with the emotional connection.
Oh, good.
She has become the most important thing in my life.
I want you to be 1,000% open with me.
There's my student debt.
And you're a white guy, she's a black woman. Let's talk about that.
This marriage is tearing me and my family apart.
But again, don't go on it. If you think this is going to tear your family apart, don't go on it.
No, this
They also, can I just say that all the couples that get engaged, they all fuck off to an island, and then you get to see the people that you could have had. So in the end, it does come down to just the shallowness of who's sexy or not.
Well, the whole program is a farce then?
It's a ludicrous idea. I think it's the most sickening TV show I've ever heard of, and I hate TV shows like Love Island and all that bullshit. This takes it to another level. You can't put something as important as getting married to somebody on a TV show.
No, it can't be the first time it's happened, though. It can't be the first time reality shows have ended with people getting married.
No, I think there's been a few, but this is obviously a new one where you don't see that person.
But the thing is, though, what really fucks me off is that they're trying to make it some big, deep emotional point, like looks don't matter. They do. Let's be honest, they do.
Yeah.
And if you're marrying someone sight unseen, you're a fucking idiot.
Don't you think that somewhere on the line, somebody should say, when you're presented with this idea for this TV show, someone go, do you know what, I just think ethically and morally that's not quite right. I don't think we need a show like that. Somebody should put a stop to it. Like, who's allowing this? This is the society that we've created now, where all this pap and this bullshit. Like, how many people of those will actually get married?
Oh.
And then how many of them will actually survive a long-term marriage? Very few, I would imagine.
I reckon the divorce rate will be 100%.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not just the idiots who make these shows. It's also the fame-hungry morons that are desperate to be on TV no matter what the cost. We could make our own show, Take a Bullet for TV.
Yes.
We'd get thousands of applicants just to be on the TV.
I know. Do you remember The Word? Years ago.
The Word.
There was a TV show on Channel 4, Friday night. You're probably a bit too young.
No, I don't remember this.
Terry Christian and I can't remember who else was on it. Sarah Cox, maybe? No, I don't know. But anyway, it was like a laddie late night Friday thing. And they used to have a segment called I'll Do Anything to Get on TV. And even then, people would do stupid things. The one I always remember, because it made me feel so sick, was somebody putting, I don't know, I can't remember if it was their own or somebody else's pubes in between some crackers and eating them.
Nice. Do you reckon their parents saw that and thought, oh, I'm so proud?
Yeah, that's what I raised them up to be.
Thank you.
We were talking earlier on about celebrities and how some of them can get away with absolute murder.
Yeah.
And now that does seemingly attract, you know, not the most talented people who find themselves with a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that can be a dangerous combination.
Very much so.
And I'm not saying this about Orlando Bloom, because I think he is a talented guy.
Yeah.
But he's someone who maybe needs to do a bit more of the old thinking department before... He does certain things in life. Have you seen he's got a tattoo?
Oh, no, I did see something about it. He had a tattoo.
Yeah.
He fucked it up, hadn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's got a tattoo of his son's name.
Yeah.
Because he's an actor and it's a little bit poncy.
What is his son's name?
His son's name is Flynn.
Oh, that's all right. That's not a poncy name.
No, it's a nice name. I like the name
Flynn. Flynn's all right. I thought you were going to tell me it was like some ludicrous, like Mountaintop or something.
Mountaintop Blue.
Yeah.
But what he decided to do was he got the name tattooed across his arm in Morse code.
Again, I don't like tattoos full stop. I would never have a tattoo, but if you want one, that's absolutely fine. But why have it in Morse code?
Because he's a poncy actor.
Fair enough. Is that the only reason?
More money than sense. Yeah, he fucked it up, as you say. He basically spelt the second letter of the name .-.
Right.
When he wanted... .-. So the difference is he ended up with the word Frin tattooed on his arm. Yeah.
Okay. Because
it's just an extra dot which changes it from an R to an L.
And see, the question I have is at what point, like who is responsible for getting the Morse code correct? Presumably, would it be him? Because you're not going to expect a tattoo artist to know Morse code, are you?
I think, in my opinion, this falls squarely on his own shoulders. Right. I wouldn't get... I mean, forget Morse code. I wouldn't get English tattooed on my own arm without checking it 1,700 times first.
Yeah.
But, of course, he's not the first or the last celebrity who has ever, you know, messed up a stupid tattoo. Have you heard the sort of Ed Sheeran Galway Girl one?
Yeah, that's a good song, Matt.
Not the song, the tattoo.
Oh, no.
There's this thing going around that, well, it's absolutely true that he got the tattoo, but he had the words Galway Grill tattooed on himself.
I mean, that sounds like a sort of greasy cat.
The Galway Grill.
You're going to go down the Galway Grill.
Although, apparently, someone's come out and said he did it on purpose for a laugh. It's kind of...
But what's the laugh?
Well, the laugh is that they thought it would be funny to do it and misspell it. So Ed Sheeran is either the sort of person who gets tattoos incorrectly spelled, or he's the sort of idiot that thinks that it's funny to get tattoos incorrectly spelled on your arm.
I don't know. Did he really do that, though?
I love Ed Sheeran. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he's I think he's done it intentionally.
Yeah, yeah.
Are
you sure? I mean, is there a picture of this? Is there a photographic proof? It's not... You're sure it wasn't like a wash-off one that he just did to take the piss?
No, it was included in the music video for Galway Girl.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. And it's there to be seen, Galway Grill. But apparently, the claim is it was done with a wink-wink on purpose.
Fair enough. That's a bit like the... those things that are done with a wink-wink.
Yeah.
You know, like that famous thing on Top of the Pops when Dex's Midnight Runners were on, with Jackie Wilson said...
Yeah.
And they put a picture of Jockey Wilson, the darts player, up. And everyone was like up in arms, like how, even then, like back, I don't know when that was, 83, 84, something like that, you know, even then, like up in arms, how can the BBC make such a mistake? And Kevin Rowland, the lead singer, Dexys, he just sort of said, no, of course it wasn't. We did it on purpose for like a joke.
Another one, which is a famous example of a balls up tattoo, was Harry Styles.
Right.
He got lyrics from the song Sweet Disposition tattooed on his arm.
Is that, I don't know that song, is that a One Direction song, presumably?
No, it's by the Temper Traps, who I've never
heard
of.
Oh, I have heard of them.
I haven't. That's probably my fault. But yeah, he wanted the lyrics, which the correct lyrics are Won't Stop to Surrender, but he got himself inked with the words Won't Stop Till We Surrender instead, which you might think, oh, okay, so he's a harmless mistake.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, apparently Taylor Swift, who he was going out with at the time, had warned him that those aren't the right lyrics.
Right, but he just went anyway.
Yeah, got it.
Is that the reason they split up?
Who knows? Who knows what goes on? But I think the queen for stupid tattoos, because she's a repeat offender, it's Ariana Grande.
Oh, really?
Yes. She launched her new 2019 tour by getting a Japanese tattoo. I think the tour was called Seven Rings.
Yeah.
So she decided to get the word Seven Rings in Japanese tattooed on her arm.
Okay.
And it turns out the word that she was going for, Shikirin, I've probably not got the Japanese pronunciation quite right on that, but Shikirin is the word.
Shikirin.
But it doesn't mean seven rings. It translates as Japanese barbecue grill.
Well, that's what they use at the Galway Grill. I got one of those down there seven for burner. Special Japanese nights.
Yeah.
So when they have the sumo evenings in Galway, that's what they use.
So being suitably embarrassed by having the words Japanese barbecue grill tattooed on her, she went and got it fixed. So she thought. But she got it corrected, and it now reads Japanese barbecue finger.
I mean,
from bad to worse.
Yeah. Again, I would say that where does the blame, like, surely if you've gone to a tattoo parlor and they've put whatever it was, Shikiri or whatever the
Shikirin.
Word, Shikirin, and that's not the right word, then would you go back to that person again?
It depends, doesn't it? Like what we were saying about the Morse code for Orlando Bloom. If he's, you know, got in there with a piece of paper and said, done this. He isn't up for the tattooist to Google it first. He'll do what he's told.
I suppose so, but I don't know. I'm just one of these people that I would always double check everything, even if I was the tattoo artist. I'm just going to check this for you, mate.
You see, I wouldn't. I'd have some sort of stupid celebrity waiver. And I'd say, right, I'm not checking what this means. Sign here that what you've given me is what you want. And if you're an idiot, it's your own fucking fault.
Do you ever feel uneasy just walking past a tattoo parlour?
No, why would I?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not into tattoos, so it. But they always strike me as weird places. Like, you look in and there's always people that, you know, they're always pierced to buggery as well.
Yeah, they are.
You know, you look in, you think it's like some sort of sex dungeon. Do you know what I mean?
What?
No, I just, you walk past a tattoo party, and think, I don't know what goes on in there. And I don't really want to know what goes on in there.
No, I always think it's terrifying. Really cool.
Do you?
Yeah, I kind of think they look like really, like, oh, you know, they've found their artistic flair in life. They know what they want to look like. They're cool. And I'm just plodding past, untattooed, unpierced.
Yeah, well, I suppose boring. It depends on what the definition of cool is, if that's what you think cool is. But though, you know, it's normally kind of
they're just very arty.
I don't see it as that, you know, because arty to me is very sort of bohemian, you know, that sort of flakiness. But these generally kind of be like your Hell's Angels type, aren't they? You know what I mean, they've got your Motorhead t-shirt on, big beards, tattoos everywhere, pierced like there's, like you've been speared in some medieval war. And they frighten me, those places.
The one thing I've never seen the appeal of is the big ear-stretching hoops.
God, no. Why would you want those?
Because you're begging to get that caught on something, aren't you?
Yeah, but it's the thing with all of these. I mean, because you used to have piercings, didn't you?
I did when I was a teenager. Yeah,
where did you have your piercings?
Eyebrow, top of the ear, through the below the lip, through the tongue. Yeah, that was it.
Right, good. You stopped facially. You didn't. You didn't go downwards.
No,
that's a good thing.
Oh no.
But I mean, at what point did you think, right, I don't need these anymore? Like, it was obviously a passing phase.
The tongue. Instantly, because my tongue swelled up, right. And I was told I couldn't eat for 24 hours. And I was like, well, fuck that, because I'm a hungry bastard. So that came out immediately.
Yeah.
And the other ones just sort of got phased out over time.
Because I just think you have these things generally when you're young, right? So some people have something when they're older. So my aunt, I think when she turned 50... Oh no, it's more recent than that. But she had a little tattoo done. There was a sentimental reason for it. So those things matter. But that was a thing later in life and a decision made for a particular purpose. And it's a tiny tattoo. It's tiny.
That's all right.
But, you know, when you're younger and you make these decisions to have piercings here, there and everywhere or big tattoos. So my granddad, right, he had a tattoo when he was in the, I think it was possibly when he was doing his national service, when he was in the army. And he basically, I think he got a tattoo when he was pissed.
Really?
Yeah. And later in life, I used to ask him about his tattoo, and he always regretted it. I think it was an anchor.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was an anchor. And he always regretted that.
That's not the worst thing to get.
Well, no, it's not. But if you get one of those big things in your ear...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like having a fucking £2 coin hanging off your ear. Surely, because there's no repairing that.
No, I think once that's stretched open, that's it.
And if later in life you want to take it, like when you see people without the thing in and you just see this skin flapping about in the wind, do you know what I mean? It's like fucking Dumbo the elephant. All flapping about. It makes me feel a bit physically sick. And surely you must look in the mirror and think, what the fuck did I do? And also, like, can you imagine going for a job interview with one of them?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's hard to cover up, isn't it?
There's that guy, isn't there? I saw him once on the now defunct Jeremy Kyle show.
Mm.
The guy had tattoos all over his face.
Yeah.
And he was sort of bemoaning the fact that no one would give him a job.
No one would take him seriously.
The thing is, I kind of understand that really it doesn't matter. You know, if you're good at a job, that's fine. But on the other hand, I can imagine if I was doing the interview, if I was recruiting and somebody walked in, there's like a massive spider web over their face. And it depends on what the job was. If it was a phone centre, fine, yeah. No problem. But if you're going door to door or you're sort of meeting clients, I'd think twice about that.
And you can never lead a life of crime, can you?
A very, very difficult, I'd imagine.
No, I mean, who was it? Oh, it was the guy with the big spider web tattooed on his face. It's going to narrow it down pretty quickly, isn't it?
Yeah, although you could then argue that actually, you know, you were Spider-Man and it was a case of mistaken identity because you were actually there stopping the crime and the real criminal had got away before there was a witness to that.
Yeah, you were trying to help and they just got completely the wrong end of the stick.
So it's been awards season recently.
It has, yeah.
It was the Golden Globes fairly recently. I think Ricky Gervais hosted that.
Yep.
We had the Oscars a couple of weeks ago. We had the Brits this week.
Yep.
Yeah. And one of my jobs that I do requires me to do a feature every week about a new album or something musical.
Okay. Right?
And basically my job this week was to do a 5-minute roundup of the Brit Awards. So it meant I had to listen through to all the acceptance speeches.
Ooh.
Okay. Now it's a weird thing to me, award ceremonies, and because I think they've changed so much, right? And something like the Brits, where it's a music-based thing. I think it's now at the O2. It's a big extravaganza of a thing. And the crowds have changed. You know, I think award ceremonies in the past, they used to be quite staid and there'd be like a nice round of applause when somebody won something.
Yeah.
But now when it's pop, and perhaps it always has been with music, I might be getting this wrong, but it's the screaming I can't stand.
Oh, I don't mind the screaming. It's the whooping that annoys me.
Whooping and screaming.
Yeah.
I've never understood screaming, really. But one of the things that I we'll get onto the crowd in a minute.
Okay.
But what I desperately can't stand is when the people announcing who's won have to scream. Okay. So this is from the official Brits videos. They're all on YouTube. And when it was time to announce the best international female, they got Mel C to announce who had won it.
Okay.
Now, if you were to go and announce a winner, you got the envelope.
Yeah.
Can you just perhaps give me, I mean, I accept that you might be, you know, hyped up a little bit, the crowd are all there, but can you just perhaps give me how you might announce a winner?
And which award am I doing?
So it's the International Female Artist of the Year.
And who won it?
It was Billie Eilish who won it.
Oh, she's great. Okay.
I know, I found out this week you got a bit of a thing about her.
I love Billie Eilish.
Mrs. Ben wasn't particularly happy about that.
No, she's amazing. I can't get enough Billie Eilish. Anyway, so...
She looks like the sort of young girl that would go in a tattoo parlour, doesn't she?
She does, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Maybe she does.
I don't know. So anyway, you're...
Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, International Female Artist of the Year is... Billie Eilish.
Okay, so you gave it a bit of effort.
Bit of oomph at the end.
You got a little bit of oomph at the end. I think Mel C overdoes it just a little bit.
All right.
And the winner is Billie Eilish.
Oh,
unnecessary.
Went right through me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes.
I was so pissed off when I heard that. Honestly, I really was. It was like, for fuck's sake, you don't need to be screaming it.
I hope Billie Eilish came out and said, what the fuck was that? That noise you were just...
No, she didn't. She was quite pleased with the way that happened.
Okay.
And then I talk about the crowds, right? So like I said, I've never understood screaming. Even when I see old clips of people screaming at the Beatles or Elvis, I don't get that.
Mm.
I don't get how somebody... Don't get me wrong, you can be pleased to see somebody live, but I've never understood how people faint. And you know, because I think you've got to be slightly deranged,
batty.
It's like, slightly batty, right? But sometimes there's a good reason. Okay, so Billie Eilish, she goes up, she goes to accept her award, and she wants to say a very sort of heartfelt thing. She wants to talk to the crowd and sort of thank them for their support, really.
I also want to just say something that I was thinking like 2 seconds ago, which was, I've felt very hated recently, and when I was on the stage and I saw you guys all smiling at me.
Again, right? Lots of screaming.
Yeah.
But it's for a nice thing because they've cheered her up.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I want you to hear the next bit, and I want you to take very close note of when the crowd scream again.
I'm listening.
Because I don't think the crowd are really taking in what she's saying.
Okay.
Okay, just have a listen to this.
It genuinely made me want to cry. And I want to cry right now.
There they go. They're very happy that she's going to cry. I'm going to cry right now. Screams of fucking ecstasy from the crowd. I mean, what is wrong with that? Listen to what she's saying. Oh, would be better. A better reaction.
It's not a pantomime. It might have just been screams of, oh, we support you. We got your back.
Well, that doesn't... I don't think a scream does that.
You think this is not conveying the right emotion.
So my problem with a scream is that it doesn't convey the right emotion.
No.
I just don't know. But it's a very weird thing to me and it pissed me off.
It would be a strange thing, turn of events, if I came to you and said, Trev, look, mate, I'm having a really hard time at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just started screaming at me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, let's pretend that you were basically, as a mate, giving me that one-to-one. So you come to me and you say, you know, you've felt hated recently.
Okay, Trevor, you know, I've been having a really tough time recently. I'm feeling hated, you know. I feel like I might cry.
Yeah, woo! Woo! Yeah, woo!
It is an odd reaction, isn't it?
It's not the best reaction. How's that made you feel?
Like you're not taking me seriously.
Well, surprising, isn't it? Surprising, fucking ridiculous. So what I'm suggesting next year at the Brits is that they actually either not have a crowd or they have rules about the way people react to what's being said. You know, listen to what's being said on the stage and don't just whoop for the fucking hell of it. And then, of course, the Oscars were recent.
Yeah.
We had the Oscars. And did you hear Donald Trump talked about the Oscars this week?
Did he?
Yeah, yeah. He was at a rally and he wanted to have a little chat
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Yeah.
I haven't heard, honestly, what he said. I'm going to guess it wasn't complimentary.
Well, have a quick listen to what he had to say.
By the way, how bad were the Academy Awards this year? Did you see it?
So he's not happy with him already. I don't know why the people are booing yet, because they don't know what he's going to say.
Right? Yeah.
He just said, because unless there was some, I mean, there's always the controversy at the Oscars that they're not diverse enough, but I don't think that's a problem for the Trump crowd. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know what they're booing for yet. I don't think that they understand what he's going to say. Again, he's just making it, I think it's just because he said the word bad.
Yeah.
And because they're like a fucking panto lot, aren't they? The Trump followers like, boo, because he said the word bad, it must be bad. Unbelievable. Then he goes on to say this.
And the winner is a movie from South Korea. What the hell was that all about?
Well,
but it was the best film of the year. It's quite simple.
Yeah, not that difficult to understand, is it, Donald, really? You know, that's the concept of the Oscars. And if you don't know what it's all about, well, fucking watch it.
That is just racism for the sake of racism, isn't
well,
it?
Well, basically, yes. He's going
boo,
on,
a foreigner one.
Yeah, well, he goes on to say more.
We got enough problems with South Korea, with trade. On top of it, they give him the best movie of the year. Was it good? I don't know.
Right, so two things.
What a dickhead.
Two things to say.
I've seen it.
One, what has it got to do with trade with South Korea?
Nothing.
I mean, it's completely different. It's not a political thing, the Oscars, is it?
No.
You know, the fact that it's won an award isn't going to affect the trade, is it? It's a film competition. That's what it is. And two, when he says, what is it all about? Well, again, watch the fucking thing. I mean, I know it's not a cartoon, Donald. You know, I mean, perhaps I'm being unfair because he has watched the odd film here and there.
You know, I'm looking for like where let's get Gone with the Wind. Can we get like Gone with the Wind back, please?
Hey, Gone with the Wind, a film that won the award 81 years ago.
81 years ago.
Yeah.
Good God.
I mean, I've only ever seen bits of Gone with the Wind, and I know it's revered as one of the greatest films. It won 8 Oscars. But it's also seen as a film that glorified slavery. You know, it's interesting he'd pick that film, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I might have given him a little bit of credit if he'd mentioned Hattie McDaniel, who was the first black winner of an Oscar, but I doubt he even knows that.
I doubt
it. I doubt he'd even know that, would he? He wouldn't even think about that.
No.
I mean, it's just like, why is he mention it? I know it's a great film, but why mention that? There's been loads of great films more recent.
I'm pleased he doesn't know about her, because he'd probably just say she didn't deserve it. Some white actress was robbed.
Yeah. He does mention one other film that he's seen.
Okay.
Sunset Boulevard. So many great movies.
So many great movies. Sunset Boulevard. That's 70 years old. I mean, he's so up to date, isn't it?
He didn't even mention Home Alone. Alone. He was in that.
Home Alone 2, he was in. he would have seen that. I mean, he could have mentioned so many other films, but he's mentioned two that have a combined age of 151. So he finishes his little speech by, again, mocking the winner of the Best Picture, which was called Parasite, by the way. It's a South Korean film, if you hadn't got the idea.
The winner is from South Korea. I thought it was Best Foreign Film, right? Best Foreign Movie. No, did this ever happen before?
Well, no, it's never happened before. It's the first non-English language movie to win the award. But I think he's using the word foreign in that sort of derogatory sense, isn't he?
Sounds a bit.
Basically, it's not in English, it shouldn't have won. I suppose he would struggle with subtitles, though, wouldn't he? Let's be honest.
He would.
Yeah, reading. I wouldn't have thought reading's quite up there. Actually, just while I'm talking about subtitles, you know, a couple of weeks ago I mentioned that I watch things with subtitles.
Yeah, but that's because you were a bit deaf in your old age.
Now, I was watching, right, when my godchildren were around, we watched some Mr. Bean episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix have got two episodes of Mr. Bean with the subtitles the wrong way round. And I think that's
what you mean.
Well, basically, the subtitles for one episode is on another episode.
Oh, right.
And it's so bizarre because some of it seems to make sense.
Well, he rarely speaks, does he, Mr. Bean?
No, but you're watching it and it's because there's some music playing. So I'm watching one of them and it keeps coming up with Postman Pat. And I'm thinking, there's nothing to do with Postman Pat here. It's very bizarre. I mean, if you're genuinely deaf and you need those subtitles, that must be very confusing. So anyway, that's just the thing about subtitles. It just annoys me that he goes on a bit, he goes, oh, foreign film. It's like when old people go, I'm not eating that foreign muck.
Oh, I know.
So I mean, unbelievable. Mm. It did win international film, by the way. At the Oscars. It won so many Oscars this year.
Yeah, I think it beat Joker, didn't it, for the best film?
Yeah. I think it won 4 Oscars, Parasite. Globally, it's won 158 awards so far.
I'm yet to see it, but it's definitely on my list.
Well, it's one of those films then, isn't it? So I don't think Donald Trump can be having a go at it for winning, when clearly it's the best film that's probably out there.
Definitely.
You know, and just because it's not in English, I don't think is a reason for disliking it or having a go. You see it? And by the way, the director is Bong Joon-ho.
Okay. Right.
And he's done loads of other films that I can really recommend. I doubt Donald's watched any of these, although some of them are mainly in English. But I suspect he'd still have a problem with it, because some of it is in South Korean. He did Snowpiercer. You ever seen that?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
The Host?
Nope.
The Wailing?
Again, heard of it, not seen it.
And Okja?
No.
All those terrific films. I highly recommend them. And just don't take Donald Trump's word for it, because you won't watch anything. And that's just about it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just one quick question before we go.
Yeah.
Right, so you know I said I was watching some Mr. Beans?
Yeah.
So one episode, he goes to the seaside and he's at like the fair at the seaside, right? And this was made in the early 90s, wasn't it, Mr. Bean?
Yeah.
Sort of early 90s. And he won a goldfish in a bag. And it just made me think, do they still give goldfish away in bags? So surely that's a thing they can't do anymore.
It's probably these days against some sort of animal rights laws, yeah.
But I remember not that long ago when you and I both worked for the hospital radio.
Yeah.
And we used to have a big fundraiser every year. And there was a fun fair there. They used to have goldfish in bags. Did you ever win a goldfish in a bag as a kid?
I don't think I did. And I'm quite glad. Not because I'm some sort of great eco warrior who doesn't want to see fish in bags. Imagine getting to a fun fair and in the first 5 minutes you win a goldfish.
Yeah, well then
what the fuck am I going to do with this for the next 2 hours?
That's why if you do it, you got to win it at the end.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think it through.
So no, I haven't.
We won one as a kid, and luckily we had a fish tank and already had one fish. And it lasted a very long time. Like most of the ones, I think, don't last very long. It can't be good being in a little plastic bag hanging up, can it? Can't be good for the health.
I wouldn't
of the
have
fish.
Thought so.
No. Anyway, it just concerned me. I suddenly had this. I suddenly really worried about it. I suddenly thought, surely we can't still be doing that.
I don't think so. I wouldn't worry about the goldfish.
All right, fair enough. Right. Well, thanks very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. If you know about goldfish in fairgrounds, let us know.
Or any other prizes that have died out.
Yeah, or prizes, or weird prizes you've won. What's the weirdest prize you've ever won?
I don't know, but I'll have a think about it for next week's podcast.
What about a prize that you really wanted? and you went all out to get it. Have you ever done that?
Nothing that comes to mind straight away.
I've got one. I used to love puppets. Like a little, you know, like Gordon the Gopher, like those sort of puppets.
Oh yeah.
And I went to a fete once and they had this one that it was like a yellow monkey and it had Velcro on the arm so you could put that around your neck, and I really wanted that.
Okay.
And God, I must have played whatever game it was so many times. I remember having to run home to get some more money. I did win it in the end.
Really?
Yeah, I did. And then I was with my brother once and he wanted it, and I think it was an A-team lunchbox at a tombola.
Okay.
And he just kept going, but in the end the bloke just said, well, have it. Yeah. Just have it, because he spent so much money. The bloke probably thought, I'm quids in here.
He's paid for eight times over.
Yeah. So let us know any prizes. That'll be an interesting thing. But anything you want to talk about, let us know. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Take it easy.
Bye.